1, 2, 3, 4.
In the mountains of Tennessee, they like the smoky sauce. But over there in old Memphis, a dry rub ribbit's boss.
This is The Barbecue Song. It's by North Carolina comedy duo Rhett and Link, and what they've created is a wonderfully succinct musical review of some of the many barbecue styles that you can get across the southern states of the U.S.
Barbecue's yellow with a mustard sauce. Pork shoulder is the cut of choice in Mississippi, and they fry themselves on barbecue. That's totally vinegary.
And that description of Mississippi barbecue, what with the pork shoulder and the vinegary sauce, actually sounds rather similar to what you can find in Kentucky, but only in certain parts of it.
The barbecue in the southern United States.
Now, I'm not even going to attempt to provide a review of barbecue across the South, or even of all the different types available in Kentucky. But I do want to investigate a little the traditions of one particular county. It's a Tuesday morning and I've come to the Smoky Pig Barbecue in Bowling Green. And Bowling Green is in Warren County, as I'm sure all listeners know. But the Smoky Pig Barbecue serves Monroe County style barbecue. And so that seems odd to me because Monroe County is not very far away from here. It's only two counties over. How different can its barbecue be? Well, I've come here today to find out from one of the owners of Smoky Pig, Phil Huffer, who is originally from Monroe County.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. You guys have a nice day.
My first memories, as long as I can remember, we had barbecue. A lot of times it's just a little shack, no exhaust system, and you couldn't hardly see the people in there, actually, because for the smoke and stuff. And you get chicken or shoulder, and you had a choice of baked beans or vinegar slaw. That's it. And you could get it dipped or you could get nothing on it. In other words, it was real hot or nothing. And I didn't know that there was anything else but this style of barbecue. And matter of fact, I first moved to Louisville, I went to a barbecue up there and I ordered a shoulder plate dipped. The waitress looked at me and she didn't know what I was talking about.
And what was that barbecue like in Louisville? Did you like it?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. I just wasn't used to it. This is what I grew up eating and I didn't know there's any other kind, you know. I came to Warren County and I worked at several jobs around here, but all the time it was in the back of my mind to have a barbecue because I got tired of driving. I used to drive twice a week to Monroe County to get barbecue, which is 100 miles round trip.
Bearing in mind that I'm not from anywhere in Kentucky, can you outline the differences, the main differences between Monroe County barbecue and other styles of barbecue?
Well, the main difference is all of our stuff is cooked on a rack over hot hickory coals, whereas most of the other stuff is just it's cooked in a smoker for hours at a time.
Actually, you can smell that hickory wood burning even before you see the Smoky Pig restaurant. The oven that it bakes in is out the back.
So this is where we burn our wood, and this is how we get it.
Okay, so we've got a big stack of wood to one side. Oh! And now you've just opened the oven door,
yeah.
And it's hot.
It's a little hot. But we stick it in there and burn it. Coals fall down in there, so...
I'm feeling a health and safety caution coming on. I think I'm going to back away. The next place wasn't much cooler. So we're now into a big... what do you call this room?
This is a cooking room.
Cooking room. Mm-hmm. And there's two guys, and they are... What are you doing? What are they doing?
They're cooking shoulder right now, flipping. Of course, we've got chickens down on the end underneath the hood.
One of the two men working in the cooking room today is Scott Huffer, Phil's son.
This is the sliced shoulder that we cook. This is where we do all of our cutting on the saw here.
And you've got a big slicing machine that's...
Yeah, it's a band saw. It's a meat saw. I'll get it sliced for you.
You
don't
want
to
be trying to run it.
Yeah. It'll take it right off. It took part of my finger off.
That shoulder that Scott spends around 8 hours a week slicing and risks his fingers in order to do so is another distinctive feature of Monroe County-style barbecue. And the cut that it comes from is called the Boston butt. A lot of other barbecue styles will shred or pull the shoulder meat, but here it's cut into really thin slices and then cooked, as Phil said earlier, over those hickory coals.
This is a really dark question, but say this is a pig.
You have to imagine here that I'm sketching out a very rudimentary picture of a pig.
Which part is the shoulder?
Right here.
Okay, you could say I'm a Merlin creature.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it's the bit just above the front legs.
Uh-huh.
Okay, got it.
And a Boston butt is a section of that shoulder that's cut out that don't have a long shank, like goes down to the foot, you know, all that's cut off. And it's just the main meaty part of the shoulder is okay. What the butt is.
Okay.
I don't know why they call it the butt on the front end, but they did.
Yes, that, I think, is what was confusing
uh-huh.
you. Yeah.
And our sauce is what makes it really good.
So tell me about the sauce. What's different about that?
Well, it's a vinegar-based sauce, and I don't know, there's something about it. It's kind of addictive. It was for me, anyway, and it is for a lot of people. And a lot of people in Monroe County know the basic recipe, but even my recipe is a little different. You don't want to tell what you do, you know.
I was going to ask, would you tell us?
No.
The Monroe County-style vinegar sauce can be pretty spicy, so there's a guide on the wall behind the Smoky Pig serving counter which advises prospective customers.
Here's the way we can fix it. You can get it plain, which is not very good at all to me, but some people get it like that. Very few. Light sprinkle will give it real good flavor, but it won't be hot. Sprinkle to add a little more heat. Dipped will be a little hotter. The further you go down,
okay.
This is too hot for
So that's double
me.
Dipped, double hot, and extra hot.
Yeah, double dipped, I could probably eat that, but a hot or extra hot, no way.
There's also a sign saying, if you don't like it hot, don't get it dipped. Is that because people come back and say this is too hot?
Too hot. And after you tell them sometimes it's too hot, they still complain. Well, I didn't know it was going to be that hot.
Yeah, yeah. Because people like to sort of say, yeah, I'm a man.
Yeah.
Give it
to
me.
It's testosterone, you know, involved in a lot of that.
As luck would have it, a customer just walked in.
What about it?
I'm going to have a shoulder plate, please.
How do you want it? You can get it anywhere from plain to extra hot.
Let's make it extra hot.
Our extra hot is real, real hot.
That's perfect.
Okay.
The hotter the better. Good for your sinuses. Good for that too, I'm sure.
I'm pleased to say that customer could indeed handle the extra hot. Phil's been serving barbecue in Bowling Green since 1999, and the place was full of very satisfied customers the day I was there. But apparently there has been the odd one or two over the years who didn't take to the Monroe County style.
I had one guy to come in. We hadn't been open too long, and he apparently didn't like what he got. And there was a lot of people in line, and he just walked up to the window and threw it on the bar there. So I went out the other door to have a little chat with him.
What did you say?
I can't be saying that. And I won't say. But my wife has had a hold of my arm trying to drag me back in.
Why the tradition in Monroe County is so different from barbecue traditions everywhere else?
Well, you know, when what you're doing is working for you, there's no need to change, I guess.
I've got a pig home in a pen, corn to feed him on. The little girl feed him when I'm gone.
I need to find out more, so I've decided to pay a visit to Monroe County itself to chat with some local barbecuers. I'm going to be dropping in on three well-known barbecue establishments in Tompkinsville, the Monroe County seat.
Yonder comes a gal of mine, how do you think I know? Tell her about the pretty little curls hanging down so low. I've got a pig home in a pen, corn to feed him on. All I want's for the little girl, feed him when I'm gone.
My name's Randy Walden. We're in Monroe County, Kentucky. Backyard barbecue.
And what's your earliest memory of barbecue?
I always had memories of barbecue, as long as I can remember. You know, it's always been in my family since 65. And every day after school, I would get off the bus there. And, of course, that's what I eat when I got out of school.
The barbecue place that Randy went to as a child was called Paul and Nora's, and it was owned by his grandparents. So barbecue is very much a family tradition.
I first learned how to, you know, cook barbecue. I was 12. My brother showed me.
What did he tell you?
He just pretty much, you know, showed me how to do it, you know, how to cook. And there's nothing to really tell. You just got to do it.
Okay. But isn't it quite, you know, dangerous for a kid to be doing barbecue?
Not here. Not for us. It's just normal, everyday stuff.
Okay. Now, why did you decide to go into barbecue?
I've always wanted it. It's just something I've always wanted to do and love doing.
My name is David Arms. Barbecue is called Francis's Barbecue. Francis Barbecue. I've got a bad thing of saying Francis's. That's my mother's name, and I take a lot of pride in that because I had to work my whole life to be able to purchase it from her.
Francis Barbecue is the second of the three Monroe County-based establishments that I'm visiting.
It's like a family farm to me. This is what I grew up in. Most kids was 7, 8, 9 years old, I was learning how to cook 40 chicken halves at a time. My brother, on the other hand, was learning how to run the window, which he would stand on the old wooden coke boxes because he was so short to be, and everybody thought it was so cute. You had a little kid in there doing this for you. So, you know, it's a long-term thing. At one time, I used to be the kid at the barbecue. Now I'm the old man at the barbecue, so.
Although David's been living in Monroe County for many years, he was born just over the Tennessee border in Clay County.
Actually, my family was raised on the river. They lived in what was called the Free Hills, and it was given to the African American after the Civil War. This land was given to them. Well, my dad lived at the bottom of this across the river, so a lot of our recipes, the cooking has been picked up actually from them. So, you know, that is a little true. If you're got to have just a little bit of African American heritage to be a barbecuer.
This is my chicken.
That's pork ribs. And this over here is my sliced pork.
As if to prove the point, the next barbecuer that I met was Anita Hamilton, who is African American. She's owned R&S Barbecue since 1989.
This is the only African American establishment in this town. The only. The only.
Now, do you see any African American influence on the barbecue tradition?
It come down from slavery time. It come from North Carolina. That's how they got here in Kentucky. Back in their slavery time, that was something that a slave come up with. My grandfather, their parents and parents was in Hart County, Kentucky. It's like a camp, a soldier camp. So that's how it really got here in Monroe County.
Hang on, it went from North Carolina to Hart County in Kentucky, and then from Hart County
to Monroe County.
To Monroe County. Was this something that was ever talked about in your family?
No.
How do you know that?
I've had an older generation of white folks to tell me this. This is how I find out.
Anita Hamilton has been in charge of R&S for over 2 decades, but the business is older than that.
Formerly, it was called Tooley's. So the business itself has been around here in this town for almost 50-something years. Now, I had a grandfather, which his name was Haskell Evans. Him and Mr. Alex Tooley, they were partners.
Are you from Monroe County?
I'm born and raised in Monroe County. Been here all my life.
And did you grow up on barbecue, or...?
Yes, around my grandfather, Haskell Evans.
And so what kind of things did he tell you?
Well, it's not what he told me, it's what I've seen him and his sons do. Back in the early 60s, they would go away like on weekends and go to country clubs and barbecue. But then they would use chickenware and put them on blocks and barbecue that way. And, you know, this I do remember really well. As a young girl, we would run around and we would catch chickens, break their necks, clean them, cook them, boil them. And so that's one tradition, is we love barbecue chicken.
So then what happened later that you decided to get involved?
Well, I just come by one day and Mr. Tooley needed some help, and I worked in a sewing factory for over like 10 years. And this was more relaxed, and I'm a people person. So I suggest to my children's father, the man need help, let's go in and help the man. So we did. We come in and helped him for about 2 years, and then decided later on that he didn't want to do it anymore. So we brought it from him, and from there on, I've had it.
So the people that come in here, what do you mostly want to eat? What's your biggest seller?
My biggest seller is shoulder, because you can get the pulled pork anywhere. Just about everywhere that you go, they're serving pulled pork. So when they come in and they look up on the menu and they're like, let's try the shoulder. The shoulder's pretty good.
Why do you think the shoulder has traditionally been a Monroe County cut?
I do not have a clue to that. As long as I can remember, everybody has always cooked shoulder.
Right.
Always.
And do you like shoulder?
I'm a chicken.
A half chicken on the bone was a fixture at all the Monroe County barbecue restaurants that I went to. But shoulder is the biggest seller everywhere, although each restaurant has their own special way of preparing the shoulder. David Arms explained to me the method used at Francis Barbecue.
First of all, it comes in fresh. They have to freeze our meat so they can cut it 3/16 of an inch thick. That's the perfect thickness for me. You take this piece of meat, you salt it, you take our vinegar-based sauce, and you dip it. Then you flip it. Then you flip it. Then you dip it. Then you dip it, and you flip it. As I tell the guys, you know, when you get tired of dipping and flip and dip. Breaks up the monotony. So that is how it is. You cannot hardly flip and dip the meat too much. And I want the barbecue flavor, the sauce, to be all the way through that meat. And it takes a lot of dipping and a flipping. In fact, we go through, four inches, 32 to 40 gallons of sauce a day.
Ah, yes, that sauce. That distinctive sauce, which we heard earlier, was addictive.
Everybody has their own vinegar-based sauce. And the reason it's a vinegar-based sauce, it boils back to no refrigeration. Years ago, you had to have something that you could make and put on a shelf and it would keep for a while. Because, like where I'm from, they didn't get electricity in some places to 1958. So the recipe is a whole lot older than 1958. But in about 1982, I started making sauce. Now, I was a young kid trying to figure out how I could do it easier. It wasn't necessarily how to make it better, just how that I could do it easier.
What was hard about making it?
Making a barbecue sauce? Well, because her dad would make the sauce and mom did the cooking, but she'd do a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this, and you'd have to taste it. And if you ever tasted a bunch of cayenne pepper, you know, you get your mouth all blown away, and I'm like, they bound to be an easier way. Ha, wait, why don't we take and weigh stuff? And, you know, why don't we put stuff on timers and boil it at a specific time and see if that doesn't work? And bingo, with me tweaking everything a little bit, we come out with the consistency we got today.
126.
Me and my stepdad is the only two people that actually know the whole formula to our barbecue sauce. Now, it's locked up in a safe at home in case something happens to me or him, so that my son will have it and my wife will have it.
So not even your son or your wife know what's in it at the moment?
No, my son's about 22, 23 years old in the military, and he may have occasional beer, and I'm worried that right there would slip out sooner or later.
Plus, you know, they've got those guns. They could always, like...
Yeah, they might be able to extract it from...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Threaten him.
The day that I got the recipe was actually the day before that I opened out here.
This is Randy Walden of Backyard Barbecue again, and he's also on the subject of sauce.
I knew the recipe from my brother from working with him, but I forgot it. And then, of course, that night we opened, and I tried to make the sauce and stuff, and it wasn't right. So I called her, and she brought it to me and gave it to me, and then it was great, and it's all been good since.
Without giving the secret recipe away, can you give us some idea of where you were going wrong with the one that you were doing without the recipe?
Not enough water.
Not enough water. Okay. And when she handed it across to you, this recipe, was it like, did she put her hand on your shoulder and go, now, son, you can never teach
this? No, it wasn't like that at all. It's just, you know, here you go, and have at it, have fun.
And does everybody here know the recipe, or is that something that you keep to yourself?
I've got a couple that knows.
Okay, so if you were to meet some unfortunate fate, the restaurant could continue.
Could continue and go on, yeah.
Okay.
Meanwhile, for Anita Hamilton of R&S, too much is made of the sauce recipe.
There's no secret in the South. Everybody say there's a secret in the South. There's no secret in this South, because if there was, Monroe County would not have four or five barbecue places serving the same sauce.
For Anita, the secret lies elsewhere.
To me, the key is making people happy. You come in today, I've never seen you before. The first time I've ever laid eyes on you. And I'm gonna make you comfortable when you come in. I want you to come in my business and feel like you're at home. You're gonna look at the menu and you're gonna say, what do I want? You know what I'm gonna tell you? Why don't you let me give you a mixed plate? I'm gonna give you a taste of this and a taste of that. I'm gonna treat you right. I'm just gonna make you feel like, oh wow, I'm gonna go back to Miss Anita. So I feel like I'm the secret.
Excellent. You are making us feel real at home.
She really did make me feel at home, and so did all the other restaurants I visited in the course of making this documentary. I also got to eat a lot of delicious food, and although they did all have a vinegar sauce recipe, each sauce was a little bit different. I liked them all, and I found out that besides the food, all the restaurants I visited in Monroe County shared something else in common. This emerged when I was at Backyard and Randy Walden was showing me around.
We're walking into a kitchen which has about seven or eight bags, big bags of cabbage. This is for the coleslaw?
Yes, coleslaw.
Okay. Where's the grill?
Grill's outside.
And it emerged that the grill had been moved outside for insurance purposes following a fire in 2009.
Well, I was on my way fishing and got a phone call that the barbecue was on fire. So come back and there's a stove left on and it caught on fire and burnt down.
Fire is apparently a hazard of the business. In fact, there have been three fires at barbecue restaurants in Tompkinsville in recent years, and as coincidence would have it, they happened at the three establishments that I visited. Here's David Arms of Francis Barbecue.
Mother built the restaurant in 1977, and it burnt Good Friday of 2009.
On that day, David had been hard at work along with a colleague.
Me and Daniel had been cooking. And these people show up for this 100-person catering job early. And just so happened, his name is Andy Black, and over the years I got to know Andy. Andy drove up from Smithville, Tennessee, to get the food. So I told him, I said, well, Andy, make yourself at home and, you know, give us a little bit and we'll have it finished. Well, me and him got it finished and pulled off, and I'm standing on the outside. The black-headed girl that works, you know, helps us out, his name is Carrie Jo. When she come running outside, and I'm standing on the outside talking to Daniel, said, man, we pulled it off. What a beautiful day. It's going to be smooth sailing from here on out. The words that come out of my mouth, and then the words that changed my life forever was, David, you got a fire. And I could tell by the way that she said it, it had to be a big one.
It was a big one. The business burnt down, though fortunately no one was hurt.
So with that happening, like I said, it was a life-changing event for me, because for the first time in my life, I didn't have a place to get up and go on Thursday or Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And, you know, I realized it's a pretty crowded world on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday if you're not selling barbecue. It's really crowded out there at the malls and places. So I took and I went around and applied to be a rocket scientist, and, you know, the government turned me down, so I decided that we'd just come up here and put in a barbecue.
Anita Hamilton also shared with me her experience of fire.
I used to be a bus monitor. So we come out early in the morning. You had to come out early to get things going, to get your fire built about 5:30. You had to lay your meat on, especially your chicken. The chicken should be on the rack by at least 6:30 that morning. That morning I come in, my children's father was back there putting fire under the chickens, because we have a special on Thursdays. You get a chicken plate for $5 a plate. At the time the school bus come by, and I get on the school bus, I'm not a mile away from here, I get a call that my business is burning. No, my business is not burning. I just got out, walked out and got on the bus. Yes, your business is burning. So I get off the school bus. I have my daughter, Samantha, to bring me back across town. When I look up, all I could see were red flames. Panic. But I lost the business, but it could have been worse, because there could have been a soul lost, which could have never been replaced. But I was very devastated. I just thought, oh my God, this is, you know, I never did like to work on Saturdays, because I could look in the streets and I see people ripping rump down the road, and I'm like, dang, I wish I was out there. But when we lost the business, I would lay on in my bed on Saturday mornings and I would cry. And I would say to myself, dang, who'd come by today? Who I didn't get to see today? So that makes you don't take things for granted. I laid around, got depressed, got big. I had a friend to see me one day. He looked at me, he said, you need to go see Jenny Craig. I'm like, why should I go see Jenny Craig? He said, have you looked at your behind lately? That motivated me. I got up off my tail and I started barbecuing in the back of my yard. I went around to the stores putting up brochures and letting people know that I was back cooking again. I did good that summer. I did just as good on the outside that I would if I was on the inside. October of that year, we got back in here.
And she's been here ever since, drawing customers from miles around, including one who visited whilst I was there.
I'm making a program about Monroe County Barbecue. That's why I'm standing here with a microphone.
It is so wonderful. I grew up on it. I live in Bowling Green, and I will drive over here just to get it.
Are you serious?
Yes. People will drive miles and miles to get Monroe County Barbecue. It's the best in the world. The first barbecue I had was when I was just 5 or 6 years old, and I've been lots and lots of places. This is my favorite. Now, there's all kinds of barbecue here, but this is the best.
So you're now heading back to Bowling Green with this barbecue?
I sure am. And it may make it all the way to Nashville tonight.
Now remember, other opinions are available, and each restaurant I visited whilst making this program had its dedicated devotees who swore that it had the best barbecue they'd ever tasted. And I ate at all 4 places and declare them equally delicious, though in different ways. If you want to find out more about those restaurants, please check out the link at www.wku.edu/folkstudies. I'm Rachel Hopkin for the Folk Studies program and the Public Radio Service of Western Kentucky University, and we're going to play out with a little bit of an Ode to Barbecue by Robert Earl Keene. Thank you for listening.
Barbecue, sliced beef and bread, ribs and sausage and a cold big red. Barbecue makes old ones be young. Barbecue makes everybody someone. Don't know what to do, treat yourself to some meat. Eat some barbecue.